Amen. Well, turn in your Bibles, if you will, to 3 John, the book of 3 John. And we're going to be looking at verse 8. And then we're going to go to the book of Revelation as well. 3 John, verse 8, and the book of Revelation as well. Here in the book of 3 John, we see here, of course, verse 8. Notice the Bible says this. We therefore ought to receive such, notice, that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. That's what we're going to be talking about today. And hopefully all of us, our desire is to be a fellow helper to the truth. My southern side was coming out there. I said, feller, amen. But we might be fellow helpers to the truth. Look over at Revelation chapter 5 and verse 9. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 9. And notice what the Bible says here. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 9. It says, and they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood. Notice, out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. So notice there, as we read in 3 John, in verse 8 there, that we are to be fellow helpers to the truth. Why is that? Because of what Christ has done for us. In the beginning of this study that we've been going through under the furtherance of the gospel, we talked about how the Word of God is true. And we talked about how we are to be fellow helpers of the truth. We talked about under the furtherance of the gospel. We started out with the with what is true. The Word of God is truth. And every single one of us should know that. We have to start out with the right foundation. But then we also talked about friendship as well. So if we are to work unto the furtherance of the gospel, well, first of all, you need to know what the truth is. Second of all, you need to have the right friendship, but also be the right friends to others. And from that, we have also been talking about this world evangelism. Every single one of these things must be working together in order for us to be fellow helpers to the truth. It is absolutely impossible for us to say, well, I'm a fellow helper to the truth if we're not grounded on the Word of God. It's also impossible for us to be fellow helpers to the truth if we are unwilling to be the godly friends that we've been called to be. But also, it's impossible for us to be fellow helpers of the truth if we are unwilling to be a witness everywhere we go. You see, all of these things have to work together. And if they don't work together, you cannot be a fellow helper to the truth. You see, every one of us have two worlds in our life. Think about this. Every one of us. We have one world that we live in front of people. This is what we want people to think about us. This is what we want people to see in our life. And you know what that looks like many times? It looks like our life is completely put together. It looks like everything's perfect, doesn't it? When in all reality, if you were to look at our real life many times, it looks like the image we see in the mirror when we first get out of bed. At least the image that I would see in the mirror. I don't know. Maybe you get out of bed and it's just picture perfect image. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe that's the way Brother Sean is. I'm not sure. But the truth is, all of us have those two lives, don't we? This is what I want people to see. But the truth is this. Every one of us should want people to see that we're living for the Lord and that we're fellow helpers to the truth. And that should be the goal, not just in our outward appearance, but what happens on the inside. You know what the Bible says? That out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. If the abundance of our heart is made up of the gospel of Jesus Christ and our desire to get the gospel out, that's what's going to come out to others. But we must have that in check. Look at the book of 3 John. We're going to read the whole book today of 3 John, all 14 verses. And notice here what we're reading about. Here in 3 John starting in verse 1, notice the Bible says this. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. Who's he speaking of walking in the truth? He's speaking of Gaius, the well-beloved who's walking in the truth. Notice verse 4. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. Because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles, we therefore ought to receive such, that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. I wrote unto the church, notice, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. Demetrius hath a good report of all men, and of the truth itself, yea, and we also bear record, and ye know that our record is true. I had many things to write, but I will not with ink and pen write unto thee. But I trust I shall shortly see thee, and we shall speak face to face. Peace be unto thee. Our friends salute thee. Greet thee, or greet the friends by name. Now notice here, we see a couple of people mentioned, and we see one who was walking in truth. But then we see the other one who the Bible declares to do this, who loveth to have the preeminence. There's a problem there. If someone wants to take the place, notice who's supposed to have the preeminence in our life? The Lord Jesus Christ. If someone strives to take that place, they're wrong. If someone for one second thinks, well, you should listen to me rather than listening to the Lord, they're out of place. Because the Lord is to have the preeminence. This is only the second time in the New Testament that the word preeminence is used. It is only supposed to be used in speaking of the Lord Jesus. And when it's talking about preeminence and it's speaking of the Lord Jesus, it does not mean one of, it means this, the one and only. That's what it means. This man, Diotrephes, was trying to take the place of the one and only. What happened when that mindset was in his life? Well, notice this. Received them not, there in verse 9. Look at verse 10. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember him by his deeds. Notice, prating against us with malicious words. You know, when someone wants to have the preeminence, you know what's going to happen in their life? They're going to be against the one who is coming to preach the gospel. That's what it's talking about there. He was going against them. He had nothing, no truth that he could say against them. But what was he doing? He was trying to turn people against this preacher. Notice, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. There was a problem in this man's life. Why? Because he wanted to have the preeminence. But the Lord himself is the only one who can have that. Diotrephes, he desired that. He sought to be the one and only in the local assembly. But that place is already taken. It belongs to Christ. Amen. But throughout this book, we see one key thought, and that is what we read in verse 8, the fellow helpers to the truth. When we see there Gaius, I think all of us would agree that Gaius was a fellow helper to the truth. He was someone who was rooted and grounded in the Word of God. Was he a perfect man? Absolutely not. None of us are perfect. We are not going to reach sinless perfection until we get to heaven. And praise the Lord that all of our sins, if you've trusted Christ, they're under the blood of Christ, and they're never going to take us to hell. Amen. But here on this earth, we're going to sin. It's going to happen. But we can confess those sins. Gaius was not a perfect man. We can do exactly what Gaius did. We can be a fellow helper to the truth. Notice, though, if we are walking in the truth. When he talks about Gaius, he says in verse 3, "For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth." How can I be a fellow helper to the truth? By walking in the truth. By understanding this is what the Word of God says. This is what I'm going to do. This is the standard. Therefore, this is how I'm going to live. When we read of this man Gaius, you know what we read here? We read that he was well beloved. We must strive to be well beloved, should we not? Look at verse 2. Notice, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth." Let me ask you a question here as we look at this verse. This is what this man is saying here. I want your physical health to match that of your spiritual health. Most of us would be on life support. Speaking of myself here, think about it. His spiritual health was in such great condition that this man was saying, "Gaius, I pray that the Lord gives you the physical health to match that." What a prayer that is. But what if that prayer was prayed for us? Where would we be today? You know, oftentimes we have aches and pains and pops and noises and all these things in our bones and joints and all of these things. You know, I can praise the Lord that my physical health doesn't match my spiritual health. Amen. Many times. Lord, help us. But this man, Gaius, understand the Word of God was what he was grounded upon. And because of that, he was walking in the truth. And because he was walking in the truth, other men and women around him could see that. And they could see how healthy his spiritual life was, not just because of the words that he said, but because of the way that he lived. If we desire to be fellow helpers to the truth, we must be living in the way the Bible tells us to live. And people will see that in our life. Look at verse 4. Notice, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." Now that is a verse that I absolutely love that verse, because it's a verse that that I believe every godly parent should have there. "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." I want my children to walk in truth. That verse has been put on plaques and all of those things. But let me ask you this here today. Based on the way that we live, could we truthfully say, there is no greater joy than that in our life? What do we spend our time doing? Now, this isn't a message on parenting today, but understand this. He had no greater joy. What is the greatest joy that you have? What's the greatest joy that you have when you consider your physical children, or the greatest joy that you have when you consider, notice, your spiritual children, the ones that you've led to Christ? Nothing should please us more than to see people walk in truth. Nothing at all. We understand something about the life and the ministry of the Apostle John. Look over at the book of John, chapter 17, if you will. Book of John, chapter 17. John chapter 17 and verse 17. Notice, of course, we're reading the words of Christ here in the Gospel according to John. John 17:17, the Bible says this, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." Over in the same book there in John chapter 8 and verse 29, I'm going to read a few verses here. John chapter 8, verse 29. The Bible says this, "And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him." Let me ask you this question here today. If we desire to please the Lord, we desire to be fellow helpers of the truth. Notice what the Son of God said. Now, we are supposed to be called Christians. Of course, the disciples were called Christians at Antioch. Christian, we're supposed to be like Christ, striving to be like Christ. If we are striving to be like Him, then notice what He said there. For I do always the things that please Him. You know, many of us live our life and striving to do always the things that please us, or always the things that please this person or that person. No, we're to please the Lord if we're to be fellow helpers of the truth. Verse 30 through 32 of that same passage, it says this, and he spake these words, as he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Every single one of us have been given the gift of individual soul liberty. Praise the Lord for that. We can choose to follow the Lord ourselves. It's not based on someone else. It's based on ourselves. God has made us with the ability to choose. Every individual, they have that individual soul liberty, and we can come to understand who Christ is, what He's done for us. We can trust Christ as our personal Savior. We don't need some pastor or some group or some priest or someone like that. No, we can trust Christ ourselves. It's not in any works that man has done. But through that, we also understand this. We have to make the decision whether or not we're going to be a fellow helper to the truth. No matter how great a church may be, and I believe we have a great church, no matter how spiritual a person may be, they cannot make you a fellow helper to the truth. It's based on the way that we live for Christ. That is what makes us a fellow helper to the truth. Now notice here, there's three things, three areas, if you will, that we must consider, we must watch carefully if we are to be a fellow helper to the truth. And these areas are very, very important. Notice, first of all, our ministry. Every single one of us have a ministry. Christ has given us someone to reach. But in order to do that, we must die to self. Look at 3 John in verse 5. Notice here, beloved, thou doest faithfully, notice, whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers. Notice what he's saying of Gaius here. He says, everything that you do in your life, you're doing it faithfully. What a testimony that is there. That means that he died to self. But notice here, not every ministry in man's eyes is some grand place and running thousands of people and all of that. But everything that we do, whether we are just meeting with a couple of people or whether the Lord has a church of 5,000 people, it doesn't matter. The way that we serve the Lord should be the same. Everything we do should be for the Lord's glory and not for our glory. We see that Gaius did that. He was living that way. He was serving that way, but not Diotrephes. The model ministry is this, to be faithful to following the Lord and to helping brothers and strangers. You see, this is the ministry that God has given to us. It's an encouraging ministry. The Lord brings us alongside of people. A ministry is not just something that's behind a podium or stands behind a pulpit. That's not the only ministry that is to happen. A ministry is wherever we are to be serving the Lord. We can be an encouragement. Being a fellow helper to the truth is a ministry in which everyone in God's family can help him. Look over at 2 Corinthians chapter 1, if you will. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Notice here in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and look at verse 8. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we have the sentence unto death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth from the dead. You know what these men were going through at that time? Here's what that verse is speaking of there. These men were under such persecution, they thought their life was about to end. Notice it says there in verse 9, but we have the sentence of death in ourselves. It crossed their mind that it'd be a lot easier if we just took our own life. Think about the pain that they were going through. You know, none of us have any idea of the pain that someone is going through, even if we're sitting right next to them. But how many times do we forego the opportunity to be an encouragement to someone simply because of this reason? Well, I just don't feel like encouraging them. Well, I just don't feel like being an encouragement today. You know, the greatest way to be encouraged is to be an encouragement. Maybe that's the ministry that God has given you at that point. What will people remember about you? Think about this. Paul was admitting that he was feeling such pressure, he thought he was going to die. That's a lot of pressure, isn't it? There's a time in Paul's life when he faced such pressure, and he was telling him about it here. He said, we didn't know how we were going to get through it. Our flesh was so weak at that time. There's no person anywhere who is hurting that we cannot minister to. There may be times in which you feel as though you cannot do much, but every single one of us can pray. Look at back at the book of 3 John, look at verse 6, if you will. Notice it says this, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. Let me ask you this, what are we doing for Christ? Think about this. He's borne witness of thy charity. He was loving people. That's what Gaius was doing. A fellow helper to the truth is going to love people. Their ministry is not going to be known as just someone that just opens the Word of God and preaches a message for 30 or 40 minutes and then does nothing else. No, he's loving people. He's caring for people. He's going out of his own way, putting his own self aside to be there for people. That's what Gaius was doing. Why? Because he was a fellow helper of the truth. His ministry was loving people. Our ministry is to be comprised of coming alongside of people and cheering them along. May the Lord help us to see that our ministry is to encourage people, bring them forward in their journey of following Christ. Notice not only our ministry, but something else that must be in check. And this is something we must all keep in check every single day. And that is this, our motive. Why we do what we do. It's easy for us to say this, I'm doing this for the glory of God. But then as we're doing it, we're constantly trying to make sure someone's looking. Make sure someone knows that we did this. No, we need to do it for the glory of God. Look at 3 John verse 7. Because that for His namesake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. We need to do it for the namesake of Christ. Many times we speak of what we do and how we do it and where we do it, but very little times do people mention why they do something. What is our motive? Our motive should always be for His namesake. Why do you go to church so much? We do it for the Lord. Why do you act that way? Because I'm doing it to glorify God. Well, why don't you talk the way you used to? Because that's not glorifying to my Lord. Why do you carry the Bible around? Because I need to become more and more like the Lord. You see, everything is to point back to Christ. Every single thing. That should be our motive. We can do everything that we have been doing. We can be giving tracts out, knocking on doors. We can do vacation Bible schools and First Responders Day like that's coming up. All sorts of things. But if we're doing them for the wrong reasons or with the wrong motives, notice this, they are wood, hay, and stubble. Why do we do these things? For God's glory. So that people can hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is a wonderful thing, and I think something that is missed out on in our country, a wonderful thing is this. giving honor to where honor is due. We need to appreciate our first responders. I truthfully believe that. But this day that we're doing is not only so that they know, well, I thank you for doing your job. But it's also, most importantly, so that they know what Christ did for them. This is what Christ did. He shed His blood. He gave that sacrifice for every one of us. If a message is preached with the wrong motive, it's no good. If we sing without the right motive, it's all for naught. If we teach a lesson in which we're not glorifying God in our hearts, what a waste that is. Everything that we do, we are to do for Christ and for His glory. And something that every one of us should understand is this. Any message that we give out for the Lord, as you're giving it out, just preach it to yourself. Because that's what we all need. The Lord will use that to bless other people's hearts. We need to preach it to ourselves. I was telling someone last week, I can't remember the conversation that I was having. It may have been with Brother Nikolai. I can't remember. But I was talking about a message that I preached last week. And I told him, I said, you know, the Lord is speaking to my heart as I was studying for the message. And I was getting spiritually beat up through the study. And then I got there and preached it, and then the Lord beat me up again. Amen. That's a good thing. It's a good thing to understand what the Word of God says. But here's the thing. We need to do it for God's glory. For the glory of God. It's not for what we can get out of it. It's the glory that God can get out of it. After the rich young ruler came to Christ, he was told by Christ that he needed to give everything up to follow the Lord. He said, go and sell all that thou hast. The rich young ruler did not go and sell all that he had. No, what did he do? He walked away sorrowful. Walked away with his head down. Walked away saying, it's not worth that. Just after that, we see the disciples standing there. And I'm not going to turn there for time's sake. I'll give you the reference, Matthew 19:27. But here's what you see the disciples saying. They're saying this, Lord, we've given up everything for you. What do we get out of this? What am I going to get? What's going to come my way? Every single one of us in that same situation probably would have done the exact same thing. But here's a truth we all need to get a hold of this morning. We deserve a place in hell. If we get nothing more than an eternity in heaven, we should be more than happy with that. If we were homeless, had to go around just searching for food, but we knew we had a home in heaven, we should be content. Whatsoever state I'm in, therewith to be content. Now, we should praise the Lord for the blessings we have. But we should never do what we're doing because of what we get out of it. It's because of what Christ has done for us. And then notice, lastly and very quickly here, not only our motive, but also our message. Every one of us have a message. Every single one of us. And when we declare that message, we are to declare it in word and deed. But let me ask you this. What message have we been declaring? We all have a message that we can give of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But if I was to go to the ones that we spoke to yesterday or the day before that, everyone that we had a conversation with, if I was to say, what was the message that was delivered to you? Would any of them mention anything about Christ? Many of us will go through hours of conversation and boy, we'll talk about our sports team, won't we? Me and my boys, we have a great time because we've got a divided household when it comes to sports teams, especially in baseball. So baseball is a huge conversation in our house. But God forbid that that would be the only message that people would hear from our lips. I love sports. I love those things. I like to talk about those things. We'll talk about many times on what we dislike about what's happening in Washington, D.C. But yet we won't give the answer to all of this. Our message has got to be lined up with the Lord. Look at 3 John verse 8. We therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. Not one time are we told to be fellow helpers to the politics. fellow helpers to the sports team. Fellow helpers to, well, just what we want to talk about. No. Fellow helpers to the truth. That's what our message is to be. The truth is to be our message. This world that we live in is full of lies. It doesn't matter where you go, what you look at, what you search on the internet, you're going to find lies there. And the devil is the father of those lies. But there's coming a personality on the stage of human history, the Antichrist, before whom the unbelieving world is going to bow and worship. What are they going to be worshiping? They're going to be worshiping a liar himself. And if we don't get the truth out now, how will this world hear the truth? The truth comes from God. It's found on every page of the Bible. And it's designed that we as believers who are part of a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church would propagate the truth. Every one of us should have a desire to be a fellow helper of the truth. But what are we doing with that? Is that our desire? If we do not give out the truth, if our ministry, our motive, or our message are not pointing people to Christ, we are not fellow helpers of the truth. Our desire to follow Christ and being fellow helpers to the truth leads us directly to the development of those friendships we talked about in the beginning. Directly to those things, and together we can engage in world evangelism. The time in which we live is our time. We read the book of Esther, how she was placed there. The Bible says, for such a time as this, we're here for a purpose. Just as the Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Philippi, we must also understand that the things that have happened or that are going to happen in the world are here for one reason, and that's this: for the furtherance of the gospel. And we must be, what we read, much more bold to speak the word without fear. But are we willing to be fellow helpers to the truth? All of these things must be in check. Amen? Let's pray.